Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey y'all, welcome to Life Unapologetic with Athena Podcast. I'm so excited to record this first episode titled Responding to Emotional Conflict. This podcast platform has been created and is designed to bring to you what God is saying to his people. What is on God's heart for his people? These messages are always going to be different, sometimes in series, sometimes in interviews, and sometimes just me, or maybe always just me. It's really going to be decided by God. And so when I went before God to really see what he wanted me to share in this first episode, first of all, I was so grateful to have the opportunity, the education, and the training that I invested myself in to be able to do this. And then being honored that God would trust me to speak to people on his behalf. I operate in that naturally in my day-to-day activities because of my faith. I have a very close relationship with the Father. I spend time with him to develop and cultivate the abilities and the skills and the gifts that he has given me. And so I'm excited to be able to put those into use on this platform. And so when he gave me the title Emotional Conflict or Responding to Emotional Conflict, I wrote this, and I even have the date, May 23rd of 2018. This was before where we are now, but this is how God operates. God will always give you what you need before you need it. The problem is we're not close enough or have enough knowledge of or at odds with God in a sense that we are unable to get those nuggets or those gems or that guidance that God is naturally trying to pour to every human being on earth. I don't know where you stand today. I don't know what your relationship is. I don't know if you stand in religion and you live out of a space of performance. If you do this and if you do that, then you hear from God, or you hear God through someone else, or you hear God through something. I don't know if you're angry with God and that stops you from even knowing him on any particular level because of things that you've experienced in your life. I don't know if you're scared of God because you live in sin, quote unquote, and you do things that are not good. And so therefore you have no relationship with God. At the end of the day, God is trying to speak to his people. And currently in this situation, in this time with this pandemic, God is really trying to align his creation with his will. His will never fail us. His will always provide what we need. His will always lead us to where we should go. And so I really see God's hand in what we're currently experiencing in the earth. This is worldwide. This is global. This isn't an epidemic. This isn't centered in one state or one country. This is around the world. And so I am grateful that God allows his true people who have relationship with him, who have a true perspective of his heart, to see the signs of the times. Times say a lot about how God is moving and what God is doing. And so I'm excited that he's showing us exactly what is going on. We've had an opportunity to be with some really powerful women and to really cultivate relationship with women who have the same heart and mindset and perspective of God as I do. And God has really just been showing us some things in the last 3 days. And we've really been seeking after his heart and really going hard to hear from him in all of the different ways that we're able to. And he's really spoken about our current situation. And so I hope that I can bring some clarity and perspective to your personal emotional conflict. I hope I can. We see that this conflict of emotion, the range of emotions, right? Because there's so many different emotions. We see it happening in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 really sets the stage for all that is us currently, right? Adam and Eve bit the fruit and became aware. They became aware of fear. They became aware of anxiety. They became aware of depression. They became aware of anger, right? And so out of that awareness, it created where we are now. It created our very own emotional conflicts. The problem is when we are in our emotions and when we're having conflict because of a circumstance or a situation that's surrounding us, it can cause us to behave, right, in a way that isn't pleasant, to behave in a way that isn't healthy. We see that now with the current emotional status of the nation, right? They're running to stores and purchasing more than they need. They're fighting and being unkind because they want to grab the last this or the last that. And so we're seeing the results of what it looks like to operate from a space of emotion. We're seeing in real time what it looks like to have real time emotional conflicts. This was not God's design or heart for his creation, for his people. God's heart was that he would lead and guide and that we would walk with him and talk with him and know his plans for what he had created for us. And because of us operating from a place of emotion, we have become very desensitized to the spirit and the leading and the unction of God. Really, if you really put a thermometer in our communities, if you put a thermometer even in our churches, we're not even really truly able to say we hear from God. I hear from so many people the question of, how do you hear from God? How do you know he's speaking? How do I know if he's speaking? How do I get to hear from God? And that shows a barometer that we truly have become desensitized from the voice of God. And it's become to the point where it's non-existent in many lives today. How do I know that? By the way, we're responding to this virus. We see the news stations with big question marks of what it's going to look like. We know that this thing is going to continue to kill. We know that there's going to be a spike, but we don't know the end from the beginning. But God does. And I'm so grateful to God that he's been showing a group of women that I've been with exactly what's going on, what it's going to look like, and how it's going to end out being. And so with that, I'm able to go about my day with the joy of the Lord, with confidence and with peace, because I put my trust in my Creator. I don't put my trust in the news stations. I don't put my trust in what people's opinions are. Do we have to use wisdom and be aware in this time? Absolutely. Do we listen to content that is being spoken about on the news or the airways that is concrete information to help be wise and to help be aware? Absolutely. But do I ingest the fear and the different conversations that continue to play over and over, whether it's a post that we share one to another, or we send, or we say, you got to send this to all the people that you love, or we sit in our jobs, or we sit in our homes, or we sit in our communities, and we continue to perpetuate this domino effect of fear and anxiety because of what someone else has told us or what someone else has shared with us that continues to feed off of this epidemic of fear. Now a pandemic of fear worldwide, right? And so because we see emotional conflict starting with Adam and Eve, it's valid that we still currently struggle with the same things that started at its core with them. And so I began to write out some things that I was vacillating on when I was thinking about emotional conflict and how we handle emotions. And the first thing that came to my mind was the fight or flight. Being in healthcare, I know that when we are unable to breathe or when vital organs are shutting down, or as a human, when we're put in a situation of fear or trauma, something happens in our body called the fight or flight, right? we are either going to fight our way through something as a response. Our body to the environment and to the atmosphere will respond in a way that's going to protect itself. If that's a fighting response, it could be we are physically fighting for our lives, or we are mentally or emotionally or spiritually fighting for our lives, and that will manifest or look different for each situation. The flight part is we try to get away from the danger. We try to get away from the trauma. And so what we see happening now with this fight or flight component or mode or emotion is we're having to fight and flight in one place, right? We have these stay-at-home laws and ordinances passed in our communities and in the nation and in the world wide, where we really have to just deal with ourselves in our space, right? And so how do we take this fight or flight emotion or reaction and put it into its proper space and perspective? We do that by the word of God. We go to the word of God and we seek his heart on what's going on. We seek his reasoning for what he is allowed to be. And we lean not to our own understanding, but in all that we get and all that we see and all that we consume, we get a true godly understanding. And so a group of ladies that I keep speaking about over the last 3 days have really went before the God, before the Father to get the answers, right? And so we were really going through the book of Joel. I believe it's J-O-E-L, from one through the whole book. And it really laid the stage for what we're seeing, what's going to continue to take place, how it's going to end, and what the result is going to be of that. And so I'm so grateful that we have a book, right? The Bible, that gives you step-by-step directions. It gives you practicality and principles on how you should live your life so that you will walk in a way that is pleasing to God, but you also will walk in true security. You will walk in true protection. You will walk in true understanding. You will walk in true success. And so when you find yourself in situations that evoke a fight or flight mode, you begin to grab your emotions, examine them, absolutely feel what they're giving you, but you put them in their proper perspective or place by the word of God. If I'm fearful at this situation, what does the word of God say? Well, the word of God strongly says that we are to cast our cares upon God, for he cares for us, that we are to place our burdens on him because his yoke that he will give us is light. We often take this particular scripture out of context that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, there's more to the context of this scripture and the direction that it was given as it pertains to one going in ministry and serving the people that God is sending an individual to, and that we're supposed to do that with the absence of fear, but stand in power, love, and the soundness of mind. But it even can be applied to that fight or flight mode, that even though I have a true emotion of fear, because that's my natural response, I know that my God, the God who's created the universe, the God who is the great provider, he is the ruler of all, that he has not given me a spirit to be fearful. But he's given me power through his son Jesus, through the death, life, and resurrection of God to have power and love and a sound mind. So if I'm walking in power, which gives me a sense of confidence and authority, and I'm loving from a place of the Father, from his heart, that love casts out all fear, says the word of God. So if love, and I'm walking in love and it's casting out fear, then I'm really having clarity of mind and vision, regardless of my circumstances or situation around me. And then if I'm walking with a sound mind, I'm able to process my reactions, whether I'm fighting or I'm flighting. What is it that God is calling for me to do in this situation, in this circumstance? We see it in the Bible where Jesus called out to Peter, and Peter asked Jesus, if that's you, then call me out to come on the waters with you. And we see that Peter walked out onto the waters with Jesus and he stood. But because of his humanness and because of that trigger of fight or flight, he began to see his circumstances, the storm around him, and sink. And God told him it was because of his faith that he was sinking. It was because he took his eyes off of the one who has power of all things that he reacted in a fight or flight mode. You know, when you're drowning or when someone's drowning, they begin to flounder in the water and splash about, right? That's a fight or flight. I'm trying to fight for air. I'm trying to fight for something to stand or some form of stability. And that's what's happening in the nation. And we have to get a hold on it. We have to get a hold on it. Another thing that I was looking at was triggers, right? If we have that component or mode of fight or flight, what is the triggers? What is the core of that conflict? For some, it's fear. What is triggering fear? We know that a lot of people put their trust in employment, right? Because obviously employment is what provides a paycheck, and paycheck is what provides shelter, clothing, all of the bare necessities that we need in life. And so now that the employment factor is gone, right? Now it has triggered an emotion of fear in us because we've trusted in something that is man-made, a system that is made by man, but founded by God, that if we work, that we would be blessed, that if we're wise, we would work, and that out of our work and out of our hours and days of putting energy into a business to get in return a reward of salary or monetary reward, that if we put our trust solely in that, and now that is gone, we have nothing seemingly to stand on. But if we go to the Word of God, God says that we aren't to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself, right? We're to be concerned for today. And then he says that he would take care of all of our needs. He says if a man would love his child, his son or his daughter, would he give his daughter a snake if she asked him for something good? And so if God loves on such a higher level than we are ever able to, would he not provide the things that we need regardless of what the circumstances or situation looks like? The problem is we aren't really able to pose that question or stand in that truth because we don't really go through our day-to-days trusting that it is God that's given us employment and it is God that's given us favor during interviews to get the position, that it is God that continues to allow the business to be sustained so that we can be provided for. But instead of that, we put our trust in it's the job or it's the owner of the job or it's the manager or it's the supervisor by which our provision is coming. And if they were to dislike us or if they were to have no need for us, that we would then be worthless and useless, ineffective or inadequate. And so we begin to operate on our jobs in this fear, right? There's trigger that happens is that if I don't do this, then this will be the result. And so when we're thinking about triggers and what those triggers are connected or associated with, we really have to look at emotion as a whole, right? And we really have to identify and name our emotions. If it's fear or anxiety or depression, what are some of the subcategories of our fear, anxiety, and depression, right? Is it inadequacy? Is it vulnerability? Is it jealousy? Is it, if it's anxiety, is it being anxious or feeling insecure? And as we begin to identify and name the emotions as triggers or giving our triggers names, then we can go to the Word of God and find the very scriptures that speak against those very things that we're feeling. God has given us full direction in His Word. His Word is Him. right? And so people say, how do I hear from God? Through his word, the Bible, because the word is truth. It is life. It is God in a form that we can tangibly obtain, in a form that we can tangibly understand. And so the disconnect is not using the tool that he's left, the guidance that he's left as a roadmap through these times. And so God's word says, for the very reason, adding your diligence to divine promises, employ every effort in an exercising of your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, exercising and developing knowledge and intelligence, exercising and developing self-control. And if we're developing self-control, then we're operating in steadfastness. We're firm, we're patient, we have endurance. And if we're exercising steadfastness, then we're exercising godliness, right? We're kind and we're loving. If we're exercising love and kindness through godliness, then we're developing a brotherly affection. We're helping one another and we're encouraging one another. And if we're exercising a brotherly affection, then we're really exercising love, right? Christianity, which is a foundation of love. And if we're exercising love, it casts out every core trigger, every core opportunity to be thrown into a fight or flight, because we love, and because we love so deeply, and we know that God loves us so deeply, that we're protected, that we're covered, and that nothing can harm us if we're connected to God. Nothing can be allowed to take us out if we're connected to God. And, you know, we really have to look at that protection of God in its entirety, because what I find is that sometimes we feel like things have happened in our lives, or even this current situation and its circumstances that it's creating. The question is, well, if God loves us, why is he allowing this to be? That question is so fully loaded, because God loves us, but how much have we loved him? God has told us that if we do this, this would happen. The world, the laws, the rules of our community and our states and our countries tell us that we have choice. If we do this, that there's going to be a reaction or a counter reaction. And so we never apply the effect of give or take, or the laws, of God, what is the word that escapes? We never take in what we do unto others will be returned unto us. We never take in the infamous word of karma, right? We never apply that to our faith in God, that if there is something that we're doing that's not pleasing to God, that there's going to be a reaction, or there's going to be a consequence that we're going to have to endure because we've made a choice to go against the healthy things that God says we should practice and perform in. Not perform, but operate in excellence from. Not perfection, but excellence. And so in the world, we're seeing so much disobedience, so much disregard for the healthy things that God has told us to walk in, the healthy ways that God has told us to operate in, the healthy mindsets that God has told us to take on daily. He says, renew your mind daily. He says that we are not to be in the world. We are not to be of the world, but we're in the world, right? That we're not to take on their activities and their behaviors. And so because those of us who know God, because those of us who have had a relationship with God, because of those of us who have been introduced to who God is, because we have operated in ways that are not according to how God has asked us to operate in, that there is a consequence. And unfortunately, we're seeing that consequence now through a form of a virus that is attacking the body. And it's because of choice, right? It's because of choice. We even look at some of the statistics of what they say when it comes to this virus, that for those who are compromised through due to smoking, right? Or due to poor health or weaken immunity because of how we've stewarded or how we've lived our lives and how we've not taking care of our bodies or taking care of our bodies, that the outcome is going to be far worse than those who are younger or those who have not chose to smoke or drink and have not compromised their vital organs so that they operate in their optimal ability. Right. Even if you contract this virus, we see on the news that there was a basketball player who contracted the virus, but he didn't suffer as hard as someone who wasn't at his optimal stance of health and endurance. So, you know, it goes to show that our choices have an effect, have an outcome, and that outcome ripples across the earth. And what we're seeing is because of sin, because of disobedience, because of the disregard for God, because of us saying, well, I don't care what God says, or I'm angry with God, or God doesn't love me, so I'm not going to be concerned about him, or I can't hear from God, so I'm not even going to try, or I know God, but I don't have time to spend with him. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. Now we're seeing the consequences of that. And so even in the consequences, even in the judgment that is passed, there is correction that is being had. There is correction that is being called. It's calling us all to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for any way that I've disregarded the way that you've told me to live. I'm sorry for any way that I've handled my body negatively. I'm sorry for any habit that has not been pleasing to you, that has not been loving to myself or others around me. I'm sorry for the way that I speak to my family. I'm sorry for the way that I try to control every environment and not allow you to lead me in controlling or to walking in environments that you have put me in charge over. I'm sorry, Father, for not making time to talk with you and get to know you and really get to know your heart, for not trying to come to you to work out my issues that I may have with you, but just being stubborn and pig-headed and bullheaded in myself that I got it and I don't need anybody type of mentality. And so even in his word, as I just read out all of those things that we should be exercising, knowledge and self-control, which is discipline and steadfastness, those are the things that we should be chasing after so that we're better spiritually, that will also manifest in our natural, in our health. Another note that I wrote out was qualities that God has given us are so important to uncover and to what I, this word that's going around is cultivate, right? What are the qualities that God has given us to cultivate so that we could be better individuals in the world? What are our qualities and are we using our best qualities in their best light around others, around our family members, right? If we are able to manage well, are we managing well? If we're able to organize our lives and the things of our lives and on our jobs, are we doing that in every aspect of our life? Or are we letting things fall off and living in a lesser state of quality than we should because of laziness, because of unwillingness to apply ourselves to a certain scenario or situation or skill set, or not investing in ourselves to be better because we don't have the time or the finances or the resources to do so. So the word of God says in 2 Peter 1:5-9, for whoever lacks the qualities is blind, spiritual, short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. This is for those of us who know God. This is for those of us who know that we should be operating and practicing in the things of God, and we have failed to do so. The word of God is saying that we are blind. We are blind to what's going on around us. We are blind to what God is saying truly to his people. And this really goes for leaders too. Leaders who might still be in the church and we're leading people with a feel good story, or it's a pat on the head or a rub on the back that it's going to be okay, and not calling them to really look at corrective measures that need to be taken so that it can be good, so that it can be okay, that because God loves us so much that if we just do good and we just pray and we just love one another, that all will be well. But but not talking about the things that we need to correct that might be happening behind the scenes or behind closed doors, or reactions and attitudes and mannerisms that are not of God. And we're not saying, hey, can we check this? Can we look at this? Are there any things in you or any way that you've been operating out of that has not been pleasing to God that can cause his protection to not fully surround you because of your choice? One of the things that myself and so many other ladies have been doing over the last 3 days is prayer and fasting. And we've really been coming from a posture of repentance, repenting for things that we've done, for ways that we've acted, for things that we've interacted with. We've repented for ways of our families and ways of our ancestors and how they may have operated that may have caused a domino effect for us to operate from an unhealthy space. We want it to be aligned with God. We want it to be refreshed in God. We want it to be in good standing with God. And we knew that came from coming with a broken spirit and contrite heart, a broken heart that breaks God's heart. The things that breaks God's heart, we wanted those to be what breaks our heart. And if it breaks our heart and it breaks God's heart, then we don't want to do those things, right? And so we've repented and we've been vulnerable with one another, and we've laid everything out, the deepest, darkest secrets, on the floor for everyone, because the word of God tells us to profess these things, to confess these things one to another so that we can find healing, so that we can be healed, because there's a release, there's a vulnerability, and in a release and in vulnerability and trust is healing, is power. It's kind of like blackmailing. If someone has something on you, then they can control you, because if they tell about what they know, it will devastate your marriage. It will devastate your career. It will devastate your character and your so-called integrity and your face to the communities, right? And so it's the same way in the spirit. The devil knows our sins. He knows our poor behaviors. He knows our weaknesses. He knows why we act and feel the way we do towards God, or why we don't do things that we should with God, or we say we serve God and we come home and we're sinning and we're drinking and we're cursing and we're smoking and we're sleeping with people we're not married to, or we're having adulterous relationships or lustful thoughts in our hearts and minds, pornography, or we're stealing and we're robbing from our tithes and not paying it to God, or in time at work, right? We're clocking in when we shouldn't be, or we're staying clocked in and going out to lunch when we shouldn't be, right? Or we're doing things that people can't see, but God can see. And so the enemy is able to blackmail us with this, right? And so we really have to recognize that in vulnerability and in confession is great reward, because you really strip the devil of what he feel he has on you, and you eliminate his ability to blackmail you. God, that's so good to me, y'all. That's so good to me. Like, he cannot stand before God and say, look, they've done this. Look, they've done that. And so in my closing, how do we really get control on our emotional conflict? Well, I came up with some key points, just three quick key points, and I'm going to read them off, and hopefully they bless you like they've blessed me. Power was one of them. We were born with power of decision. I love that. We were born with the power to choose, right? God allowed Adam to choose the names of the animals in the garden and the plants. He chose to give Adam the ability to rule over this environment. And even in the fall of man, and even in our sin, he still gives us the power of decision. So with that, we are able to make better choices, right? If we're serving God and we're seeking God and we're really going after his heart and we're reading our Bible to see what he says in everyday life and in practical day-to-day activities, then we're able to make healthy choices. And in healthy choices, we take power, right? From negative choices. We take power back from the devil because he can no longer blackmail us. So in having power of choice and the power that comes from good choices, healthy choices, we walk confidently, right? We're not ashamed. We don't feel condemned, right? Even if we look at eating healthy, And this is a struggle for me and something that I'm working closely with a sister that I know who her ministry is to build you, to help you steward your body well, right? And so she created a meal plan for me that is lunch, snacks, dinner, breakfast, right? And so if I steward my body, if I make a good, healthy choice, I empower myself to have a day full of energy. I empower myself to have a day of a clear mindset. I empower myself to not fall victim to the so-called hangry, right? I know for me, if I'm hungry or if I'm tired, that I don't respond in the best light. That's probably everybody. But I can be very negative, or I can be very snappy, or very short-sighted, right? We go back to that lack of self-control, where if we're not operating in the spiritual things of God, that we're short-sighted even in the spirit. And so that has respects in the natural. So I encourage you to take power back through making healthy, good decisions. Get with someone who can teach you what it is to make good, healthy decisions. The second one was loving ourselves. So good. To love ourselves is to honor our bodies. To love ourselves is to be mindful of our weaknesses and seek out to strengthen those weaknesses. To love ourselves on this topic of emotional conflict is to be aware of our emotions and to operate from a space of godly perspective as it relates to our emotions, right? Godly perspective would be the fruit of the spirit, which is love. And as a byproduct to love is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, mercy, right? The list goes on out of Galatians 5:22. You can see the list of the fruit of the spirit and the byproducts of love and what that develops in you. And so when you begin to deal with the conflict of emotion, you remind yourself based on the emotion that you're feeling that you need to think on peace, or you need to think on joy or kindness or self-discipline, right? And so if we're thinking of loving ourselves, we're going to do the things that are going to benefit us in a healthy way. We're going to choose activities and habits and content and food and conversation that benefit us in a healthy way, not gossiping and talking about one another, not backstabbing and backbiting one another, but really loving ourselves to the point that we want to love others, and we want to show what loving ourselves look like to others through our actions and our behavior, our attitudes and our conversations, right? In our charity, in our giving. And I love that God says, love yourselves. And then the last one he gave me was discipline. Discipline is self-control, right? So if we're disciplined and we're practicing discipline, then what comes with discipline is consistency. To be disciplined takes me doing something consistently to be disciplined in that thing. The most common thing to use when you're talking about discipline is exercise, right? If I exercise 30 minutes to an hour a day, consistently, I'm going to get a result in some way or another that I'm looking for, whether that's to tone up my body, whether that's to lose weight, whether that's just to be healthy in my cardiac system, 30-minute day walk or 30-minute day run, so that I'm strong and my heart is strong, so that my endorphins are secreting and giving me the energy and the life that I need inside, right? And so through discipline, we are able to really steward all that God gives us and all that God tells us to do and all that God has for us to be. And so if we're stewarding discipline, if we're operating from a disciplined state of mind based on the word of God, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish. There's nothing that we cannot accomplish. So I'm so excited about this first episode. I really just winged it, y'all. So whatever mistakes or whatever rambling was in there, it's all good. I'm not taking it out, because this is not about perfection. This is about excellence. And so I just encourage you to get a hold of your emotional conflict. I have this tool that I use with my clients, and I'll tell you more about how you can become a client later. But I have this tool of a language wheel that was given to me, and God really encouraged my heart to give this to my clients and to create an assignment. And this language wheel is basically three circles of emotion. The middle or inner circle is the core of all sub-emotions. And the last two outer circles of the wheel are what are a result of such said emotions, right? And so if we have fear, then as a product of fear, there's depression and anxiety as a sub-emotion, but it starts with fear, the first or core breakdown, which can be the trigger, right, to some of our emotional conflict. And so as we use this emotional wheel, we're able to identify our emotion so that when we go into a time of emotional conflict, we can give it a name. And then if we can give it a name, then we're educated and now we're not powerless against that emotion. We can go to the Word of God and see what He says to do about such said emotion. And we can speak the Word of God towards that negative emotion, because the Word of God says that where light is, darkness cannot be. So depression, anxiety, and fear cannot be where light is, and it counteracts it, right? So I'm excited about the tools that we have, and I'm going to try to see how I can add that tool in my show notes for you to take and kind of use for yourself. Or you can email me at relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. That's relationalbreakdowns with an S at gmail.com. Email me your questions. Email me your thoughts on the episode. Email me on some thoughts of things that you want to hear that you're questioning God about, but you haven't heard and you'd like to hear. And we can go before the Father and petition and see what His heart is saying. I love you all. Be blessed. Until next time. Bye now.